believe me, you're pretty big, even now.
He was big when I played against him, too. So don't feel like you're the only one that didn't think he was big.
The only thing I know is getting bigger width-wise rather than height. You're the GM. What is the responsibility of the coach and the GM and the organization when it comes to the players? Your pressure is to win at all costs. What role should the coach and the GM play in terms of injuries?
Well, I think it's important, especially with the awareness. I think if there's anything that have the strides that have been made on the safety of football have come from the unnecessary hits. When you can prevent the hits, and I think that's where the league has made, and Commissioner Goodell has made tremendous strides in trying to take, we can't take injuries out of the game. And that's unfortunately something we're never going to be able to do, but I think the strides that we've been made have been taking the unnecessary, the clips, the late hits, as the cushioning that Ronnie mentioned earlier, and the chop blocks from the backside on defensive linemen. So we've made huge strides there, and I think when you look at this, what Commissioner Goodell's got in front of him, man, I mean, it looks like it's a big piece of clay that he's got to sculpt to try to make it safe as well as keep the integrity of the game. And so that is always moving and always taking place. And I think that, you know, as a league, we've taken tremendous strides so far. As far as a coach, I think it starts with the coach and what the coaches are teaching and what we're teaching in practice. And that's really the baseline of where it's all going to start. We can make all the rules, the league can put all the rules out there that they want, but unless it's carried through by all the different teams and made aware that the players are made aware of what's legal, what's not legal, then it's not going to go anywhere. So as a responsibility, our responsibility, John Fox, as the Denver Broncos, is to make sure that we transcend the rules that he's putting in and make sure that's what we're getting coached, whether it be in practice or in game films.
So you guys have been fans, and in a moment I'm going to give this microphone. I may not be able to reach the back, but they want to take your questions. Again, by a show of hands, you guys have been fans for years. Consider football today to what it was 15 or 20 years ago. Is the quality of football better today, about the same, or worse today than it was 20 years ago? Who thinks it's worse? Raise your hands. One. Two people, and one of the guys has got dark shades, so I don't know whether you should trust him or not. Three people. Who thinks it's about the same as 20 years ago? Raise your hands. Who thinks it's better today than 20 years ago? Okay, very quickly, why is it better?
I think the parity is a lot better, and the players are now compensated more. And I agree with that.
Commissioner, talk about the role of parity. I know that you care about the quality, that you want every team at the very beginning of the season to have that shot at the football, a shot at the championship. What is it about what the NFL has done to create a greater degree of parity and look forward to the changes that you're going to be making?
Well, the first thing is we start by saying it's competitive, not parity, because what these guys do is compete. And I think it starts with the system. Because we share our revenues, 80% of our revenues are shared amongst all teams. So the same amount of revenues coming to the Raiders that are coming to the New York Giants, the Chicago Bears, or the Jacksonville Jaguars. And that gives everybody a financial ability to compete. The second is that we have a salary cap. And when you combine that with free agency, players can move, but there's only so much that can be spent on players. So I think those are very critical foundations to competition. And as Frank said, our hope is that every team has the ability to win. And you can have a bad season one year and win the next year. Last year we had a team at 7-7, went on and won the Super Bowl. So every game counts, and momentum is a big part of this game, and we want to make the difference between winning and losing very, very close. And I think it is in the league, probably more than ever in its history.
And you guys want to tackle this question about the competitive nature of football?
I think the game is, you know, I think if as a former player, you know, sometimes you talk to older players, they say, wow, the game's not as good as it was. The reality of it is, when you're looking at the game, it's, as I said, bigger, stronger, faster. The passing game has evolved or kind of gone back to it, almost an AFL It's kind of come full circle. You know, everyone thinks they have new ideas, but a lot of times the ideas are the same ideas that were used Sid Gillman. And the example of the Giants last year at 7-7 advancing to the playoffs, who's the hot team? Green Bay was as good a team as there was in football. Aaron Rodgers as hot as he could possibly be. You get into our tournament, unlike hockey, basketball, baseball, it's not a best of five, it's not a best of seven. It's 1 week, you're hot, you play well, you advance. If you're a wild card team, you win a couple of games, maybe you get to New Orleans.
You know, the thing that's really impressed me is young players coming in and being able or being ready to play early, especially quarterbacks. I mean, if you look what Andrew Luck is doing for this league and what he did for the Colts, what RG3 is doing for the Washington Redskins, you know, you can just see that they're coming in, and maybe it's a little different. You know, maybe it's a little, you know, different speed option, a lot of spread and a lot of that stuff. But I noticed that what's happening is they're playing the same football in high school. If you look at a high school, you'll see these same formations. And then the colleges are playing the same, and then it's coming into the pros. It used to be that high school played one way. You know, everything was tight and just hand off and stuff like that, never throw the ball. And then, you know, in college, I remember the time when there was only two or three teams that threw the ball, and John came along and, you know, changed a lot of that stuff at Stanford. But, they didn't do it. Now in college, they all throw. They all throw in high school, and then when they come into the pros, they're ready to play. And that's what makes it exciting. I mean, when you see, we used to sit around and say, oh, you know, quarterback can't play until he's been in the league 5, 6, 7 years. Hell, and then RG3, I watch him one night. What the hell's this? You know? And you see Andrew Luck. I mean, he took that Colt team, and look what he's – and those are the exciting stories to me, not only those, but then bringing Peyton Manning in, you know, neck a year off, coming in, taking the Broncos to the division championship. And I mean, those are great stories, and that's what the heck it's all about. But seeing young guys come in and playing quickly is a different thing.
So it's now up to you guys. I think you're the youngest person here, so if you want to ask a question, I'm going to give you the microphone first. Right. It's up to you. Do you want to ask a question? Oh, you're going to regret this 10 years from now. Who's got a question? Who's got a question? Let's go right here. Yes, if you can stand up, and he's going to hand you a microphone.
If you want to do anything with the safety for the players, I think that with the salaries that they're making, the fines have to be higher. Because some of those fines for $50,000 is nothing to some of those players now. So I think on blatant penalties, there should be extremely higher.
Can I ask how you guys, who would raise the fines? Who thinks they should be higher? Raise your hands. Flagrant?
Well, I'm going to go a little bit further because I don't disagree with you, and we have raised the level of fines, but I really think it's suspensions. What really changes behavior for the players is when they can't be out on that field the next week. They can't be there to play, and they can't be out there to support their team and try to help their team win. So we're moving, when we get into these safety matters, particularly the head-to-head hits from defenseless players, we're moving towards suspension, even on the first case. And that is having an impact. And it goes to something John said before. It's causing the coaches to coach the game differently. They're now making sure they're not using those dangerous techniques.